The fourth aliyah of Parshas Beshalach is the aliyah of the Shira. We find here the water receding through God's instruction to Moshe, Neteyas Yodcha al Hayam. You should hold out your arm over the sea, and the waters now come back on top of the Mitzrim. So the idea that he's using his hand now, and apparently not his Mateh, Vinitziv comments that here, this is less of an obvious miracle, as opposed to the splitting of the sea in the first place, and therefore his outstretched hand is enough. In the beginning of the Az Yashir, so we have the word Az, the Medrash suggests that this serves as a type of kapara, this type of atonement for Moshe, because of what he said back in Parsha Shmos, Umei Az Basi El Paro L'daber B'shmecha Heira L'am Hazeh. That statement that from the time he came to Paro, God has not helped the Jewish people, things have only gotten worse, so that needed to be atoned for, and the Shira Sayam, starting with the same word, apparently is an atonement for that. Then the Beis Halevi explains what the significance is, that when somebody has a problem that's resolved, so he's grateful for that, and he's grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that can be in two different ways. He could be happy that he no longer has the problem, in which case he would have been just as happy had the problem never been there in the first place. Or he can recognize even more that the problem itself was a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, and that that also should be included in his gratitude. So here, in this case specifically, the fact that the Jews not only were saved from their slavery, but also were able to serve as the basis for this tremendous Kiddush Hashem, that God displayed his power over the Mitzrim and his rescue of the Jewish people, all of that is a tremendous sanctification of God's name, and the fact that the Jews were able to be a part of that from the very beginning is all a reason for gratitude. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Sari Aleph Mud Beis notes that the plural language here of Yashir Moshe indicates that this is a song that will happen in the future, and therefore this is one of the indications in the Torah for Tchiyas HaMesim, for the fact that the dead will be resuscitated. And the idea, in addition to that very significant point, that this song specifically will continue to be sung, indicates that there is a stature to Kriyas Yamsuf that is apparently greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that the future salvation will be of such a stature that it will take the place of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Apparently we won't be talking about that at that time. But it sounds like from here that Kriyas Yamsuf we will continue to be discussing and singing about. And the notion that there is a greater significance to Kriyas Yamsuf even than Yetzias Mitzrayim is one that we find a few indications in that direction. And the idea that the Jews were actively involved in the process and chose to go forward in the Yam, in contrast with Yetzias Mitzrayim, in which they were passive, that already is one reason for its extra significance. Rashiv Karambiavna noted that this is a part of the kinyan of the acquisition of the Jewish people of their own emunah and their role in the process, and therefore there is greater significance and endurance to this experience of Kriyas Yamsuf. We find one of the most highlighted psukim within the Yashir HaSayam is the idea of Zeh Keli V'Anvehu, which is a difficult pasuk to translate. Herman Wuk wrote a book called This Is My God, but he left out the word V'Anvehu, which is the harder word to translate. V'Anvehu is subject to a number of interpretations in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos and elsewhere. In Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, we find two interpretations. One, that this is an idea that tells us to imitate God, V'halachta B'drachav. The interpretation would then be V'anveihu as Ani V'hu, he and I are together. And that reflects an idea that we are meant to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos and to act in Chesed. And the other interpretation is this is the source for the obligation of Hidr Mitzvah, Hisnoi Lefanav the Mitzvos, that we should have mitzvah objects that are beautiful and appealing. Esrog Na'a, Tzitzis Na'a, Sefer Torah Na'a, etc. There is also a third interpretation that we find in the Targum. Unculus has the phrase, Evni Le Mikdash, I will build for him a Beis HaMikdash. And there are those who suggest that all three of these interpretations really come together, that we beautify Hashem through perfection of Midos. The Torah Tmima has that understanding. And there are those who connect it with Unkelus' idea that through doing so, we create a sanctuary for God within ourselves. The two interpretations in the Gemara of Heder Mitzvah and imitating God do together emphasize the joint priorities of Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Chavero and Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Makom. And the topic of Heder Mitzvah is subject to much analysis. The impression that we get from this Gemara is that there is a Din Min HaTorah as derived from this Pasuk. There are, however, those who disagree and see the pasuk as an asmachta and not necessarily actually obligating the concept of Heder Mitzvah. There is a major discussion as to how to understand the concept of Heder Mitzvah. Is it the idea that we are trying to express our enthusiasm for mitzvos, and therefore it is similar to other such concepts as Zrizim Akdima the mitzvos, that we try to do mitzvos at the earliest possible opportunity, or the idea of mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho, we try to do mitzvos ourselves, even when it's possible to have an agent do them, all of these reflecting our personal eagerness and enthusiasm for the mitzvah, or is the idea, a notion that we find other religions have adapted as well, that when the items associated with the religion are particularly appealing and aesthetically attractive, so then that helps people to respect and admire the religion and its values. So this would have a number of implications, lahalacha. For example, the question of whether Heder Mitzvah applies to something that is not visible to outsiders, such as the Parshios of Tefillin, especially of the Shalyad. This was subject to a machlokas among the Rishonim, if there is a obligation of Heder Mitzvah in that case. And related to that, the question of whether Heder Mitzvah is specifically about objects that are appealing, as it sounds like from the Gemara, or could there be Heder Mitzvah also in an action? We find the phrase used by some of the Rishonim in such usage. For example, Rashi and the Rashbam, in the beginning of the 10th parak of Pesachim, talk about maintaining an appetite to eat matzah, because eating with a greater enthusiasm will be considered a Heder Mitzvah. And also Tosfos in Maseches Brachos suggests that reciting a bracha on one's own rather than hearing through somebody else would be considered a Heder Mitzvah. Others would use the phrase Mitzvah Min HaMuchar for such actions, but not necessarily see it as the kind of Heder that we are talking about here. There are those who understand from the way the Rambam phrases it that the Rambam actually doesn't have a concept of Heder Mitzvah in the object at all, but only sees Heder Mitzvah as how the mitzvah is performed, which was relevant to another question the Achronim noted as a topic of dispute, the question of whether Heder Mitzvah can only be accomplished at the time the mitzvah is done, or is it possible also to add a Heder Mitzvah after the mitzvah has already been fulfilled. And the understanding given to the Rambam's writings is that a Heder Mitzvah can only be done at the time the mitzvah is actually performed and not added on later, while other Rishonim are perhaps more open to a Heder that could be added at a later point, perhaps at least if there is a fulfillment of the mitzvah going on, even if it's not actively being performed. If Heder Mitzvah is seen as an expression of enthusiasm, that may be relevant to another question that was debated extensively, that of whether Heder Mitzvah should be prioritized over other expressions of enthusiasm in halacha, such as Rizin Makdima LeMitzvos. That is an extensive discussion. Do we prioritize doing a mitzvah at the earliest opportunity, or doing it in the fashion that is the most mohoder? And that could also connect to this question of whether Heder Mitzvah is part of that broader category of those things which display enthusiasm, in which case one might suggest that it doesn't make sense to sacrifice other ideas in order to have the Heder. Perhaps we should have reason to prioritize one of the other values. These questions relate also to the issue of to what extent the Heder Mitzvah is incorporated into the mitzvah itself or seen as something separate, such as icing on the cake. It would seem clear that a Heder Mitzvah should not override Shabbos, and that is the explicit indication of the Gemara here in Masechet Shabbos, where the original drash is found on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, that when Bris Milah is taking place on Shabbos, so then we do not go further than we've already gone for purposes of hiddur, because that extra cut would be a violation of Shabbos that's not justified by the mitzvah itself. However, the Gemara Maseches Menachos on Daf Samach Daled Amud Aleph talks about a situation where an animal has already been shechted for a korban that is offered on Shabbos, and afterwards a more mahudr animal is found, and the Gemara permits shechting that animal even after the first animal is already available, apparently saying that hiddur indeed should override Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Werman in his Sefer Sheres Yosef suggests that the Gemara there is addressing a different concept of hiddur, not derived from Zekei Levin Vehu, but rather from the pasuk of Mimivchar Nidrecha, that adds an additional requirement that korbanos should come from the best possible option. Later on in the Aliyah, in Perek Tezvav, pasuk Chav Beis, we read Vayisa Moshe es Yisrael Miyamsov Veitzu Al Midbar Shur VeYelchu Shloshes Yomim BaMidbar VeLo Matzu Mayim. They went 3 days without water, and this was a source of problem for them. And the Gemara understands in Maseches Bava Kamma on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, which was yesterday's Daf Yomi, that this is a reference actually to Torah as well, and that to go 3 days without Torah is a cause of great anguish and deficiency. And for that reason, there was a takana that was modified by Ezra, which is the topic of that daf, that the Torah should be read 3 times a week, so that 3 days should not pass without its reading. And that is our practice, to read the Torah on Shabbos, but also on Monday and Thursday. Since the original form of this takana goes back to this point, the Gemara says the Nevi'im of that generation instituted this practice, so it's a very early institution. The Bach has a language in which he indicates that this is actually an obligation of Minhag Torah. The later Svarim disagree with that, noting that we understand Kriyas HaTorah to be an institution midrabanan, that even if it was contemporaneous with the Torah, it was still instituted by rabbis, and therefore it has the status of a rabbinic obligation. As far as the literal need for water, the water that was available was bitter, and the nation complained, and they called out to Moshe, who called out to God, and God showed him a branch, and he threw that branch into the water, and the water became sweet, and the pasuk over there concludes, Sham sam lo choku mishpat v'sham nisahu. So this idea of choku mishpat, Rashi quotes that a number of halachos were taught there, Shabbos and Parah Aduma. And the commentaries wonder what the source is for Parah Aduma, so much so that there are those who wonder that perhaps there is a typo here, perhaps there is a Torah Sofer. The Torah Tamima suggests along those lines that actually what was taught at that point was Kibud Av Va'Em, and that it had been abbreviated as Chaf Aleph, and it was misread as Pei Aleph, and then expanded into Parah Aduma. However, my grandfather, in his commentary on the Torah Tamima, the Meshivas Nefesh, as well as other commentaries, note that there are many earlier sources that do refer to Parah Aduma, and some that refer to Parah Aduma and Kibud Av Va'Em together as halachos that were taught at Mara. And he notes that in the name of the Baal HaTurim, we see that there is a logical connection here, because just as the stick was able to turn the water that was bitter into sweet, so too the Parah Aduma is able to turn that which is Tameh into something Tahar, and therefore there is a connection between the two, and it was an appropriate moment to teach it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky notes that it was also an appropriate moment to teach about Halachos of Shabbos, because this miraculous event of the stick being able to convert bitter water into sweet was a display of God's mastery over creation, and an appropriate time to teach about God's creation of the world and our obligation to commemorate that with the Halachos of Shabbos.